Now turn with me this morning, the book of Psalms. We're seeking to gain some profit from the Psalms. We're turning to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, probably one of the more familiar psalms. We often hear these words quoted in prayer. We often hear them quoted in preaching. And someday we quote them to others in our everyday living. So listen again to Psalm 121. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. If I was to give this little psalm today a title, and in seeking to encourage the hearts of many who are passing through difficult days, I would simply say this morning, keep looking up. Keep looking up. This psalm is one of a number of psalms referred to as the Song of Ascents, or in some of our margins of the Bible, it says the Song of Degrees. You'll find this group of psalms grouped together from Psalm 120 through to Psalm 134. Depending on whichever commentator you read, you'll discover that there are mixed opinions regarding as to when and why these psalms were recited or sang by the people of God in a bygone day. There are 15 of them in the original text, referred to as the Song of Steps, and it's thought that the idea originated in connection with a form of worship which was found amongst God's ancient people. One explanation is that they sang or recited one of these psalms as they climbed the steps to the temple to worship the Lord. Some have suggested also that these psalms were sung by pilgrims who were making their way home from exile in Babylon. Their hearts, of course, were not in Babylon, their hearts were in Jerusalem. And as the pilgrims returned after their exile in Babylon, they could see the hills outside from the city, they could remember the temple inside, and so they were coming home rejoicing in the goodness of God. And as they made their way home, and as Jerusalem comes into sight, they recited these psalms at different stages of their journey. But whatever the reason behind these psalms, I want you to think about Psalm 121. A psalm that you and I have read often before, but sometimes in the midst of discouragement, we forget about the truth of this particular psalm. Note with me the call of the psalmist. Look at verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, the psalmist is asking us immediately to take our eyes away from ourselves, to take our eyes away from the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and to lift up those eyes to the hills. What he means is keep those eyes fixed firmly on your God. Why does he mention then the hills? Well, if you think about what it meant to the psalmist and his generation to consider the hills, you'll realize that the hills were important, not just to the psalmist himself, but the hills were important to the nation as a whole. They were greatly associated with God's dealings with his ancient people in the past. But they also held for those in the future something that they could look forward to, because it seems that through the hills or the mountains that we read of in the scriptures, that God really ministered to his people of old. For example, you remember that it was at Mount Ararat that the ark rested. The promise was given that after God had judged the world for its wickedness, there wouldn't be another flood like that flood. You remember it was on Mount Moriah that Abraham's faith was put to the test. Remember how he offered up his son? His faith was tested, but his obedience, like we've been thinking about this morning, was clearly seen. But Abraham, God's servant, in his own journey of faith, learned so much from that experience on Mount Moriah. You'll remember that it was on Mount Gilead that we see Jacob's departure into Canaan. Jacob had faced a time of decline. He was rich and powerful, but he wasn't in the place where he should have been. And he learned an important lesson at Mount Gilead, that he ought to obey God rather than men. Remember Mount Sinai. That's the place where God revealed himself to Moses and he gave him the Ten Commandments. This is the place where God gave his people the principles that they needed for everyday living, principles that should have and did in many ways change the life of the nation that God in his grace had brought to himself. Remember that it was on Mount Calvary, the place of the skull, that Israel's Messiah would suffer and bleed and die. One day coming, there would be one who would take the sinner's place at the cross and die there on that cross for your sins and mine. Remember, it would happen one day on the Mount of Transfiguration that Moses and Elijah would meet with the Lord Jesus. These twin peaks of Israel's history and achievement appeared with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount to speak about his departure. And then the scripture says that one day, on the Mount of Olives, or Mount Olivet as it's referred to, the Lord Jesus will return to establish his reign. You see, beloved, if you were standing in the shoes of the psalmist this morning, or in the shoes of those ancient people, you would realize how important the hills were to them. They were associated with Israel's past. They were associated with Israel's future. They were a reminder to the people of God that everything that God had promised to them was going to be fulfilled. It was a reminder that whatever was happening to them at that particular time, whether they were back in the city, whether they were their way home from bondage, whatever was happening to them, whatever the circumstances, God had not forgotten about them. And when he asks them to get their eyes on the hills, he wants them to get their eyes on the greatness and the sovereignty and the supremacy of the God whom they worshipped. I will lift up mine eyes, he says, unto the hills. Beloved, how important it is that you and I should look heavenward this morning. So much going on around us that would easily discourage us. There's so much even in the world in which we live happening on our very doorstep that would deter us, even to the extent that sometimes we look out and we say, does God know about this? Why does God allow that to happen? Why should thousands of people march down the capital city of our land yesterday and be allowed to do it when it flaunts themselves in the sight of God's word? Why does God allow it? And sometimes we get our eyes on circumstances, we look all around us, we get defeated and we get discouraged. But we need to keep looking up today and remind our hearts that nothing can frustrate the plan and the purposes of God. He is a sovereign God. He reigns supreme. Get your eyes heavenward today and keep looking up, because God is still on the throne. The hymn puts it like this: to heaven I lift mine eyes, to heaven Jehovah's throne, for there my Savior sits on high, and thence shall strength and aid supply to all he calls his own. But why look to the hills? Why look to God? Some of you people are here this morning and you're not saved. Some of you are going through life looking onto yourself and depending on yourselves, thinking that you're in control of your own destiny. That's not so. Why should we look to God? Well, here's what the psalmist says. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That's why you and I look heavenward today. My help cometh from the Lord. You see, your trust in mine, whatever our circumstances, is in the God who created the hills. It's in the God who has created all things out of nothing. It's in the God who reigns sovereign over all of his creation. Beloved, remember this. Keep looking up, because you and I can easily fall into the trap of being self-sufficient. You and I can easily get to the stage where we try to work out things for ourselves. That's not the right way to go. Because the moment you and I start down that road of trying to sort a mess, the mess only gets greater and bigger. It would have been better had we gone to the Lord in the first place. Sometimes we run to others, and though we appreciate their help and counsel and encouragement, they're none of the miracle workers. Sometimes they're struggling themselves and we don't know it. The only one we can turn to today is God himself. Our help cometh from the Lord. The psalmist on another occasion, Psalm 142, read it when you go home today. Psalm 142, the psalmist is in dire straits. It seems as if there's no help to be found in a situation. Here's what he says in verses 4 and 5. He says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. When he looked around him, he was discouraged. When he looked within himself, he was disappointed. But when he looked up to the God of his salvation, he was delivered. Because God heard him and God helped him. Are you in the midst of distress today? Do you feel as if the world that you're living in has collapsed in all around you and you've nowhere to turn? Oh, this morning, take the words of the psalmist to heart and keep looking up. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Do you know, I could write a book on experiences. Maybe if I lived to 70, I might even do that. But I could write a book, as previous pastors could, of people's experiences when they found themselves in the most darkest, difficult days. And there in the midst of all that they were facing, their response was simply this: you know something, Pastor? If I didn't have the Lord, I could never have got through this. That's true. We've all proved it. Some of you are not saved this morning and you don't have the Lord's help. You're going through life without Christ and without hope, without direction, without any real purpose for living. When the problems come, you have nobody to lean on. When the hard times come, you have nobody to run to. Friend, there's a Savior today for a man or a woman like you. There's one who will not only save you, but help you and keep you and encourage you and lead you through your journey of life. No matter about the ups and the downs of life's journey, he says to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why waste your life and run through life aimless and helpless when there's a Savior today who wants not just to save you, but to bless you? The call of the psalmist, keep looking up. Our help is from the Lord. The comfort of the psalmist. Look at verses 3-6 for a moment. He says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. You see, the psalmist takes great comfort in his own relationship with God. And there are two things that stand out about that in this psalm. The first is God's character. Because the psalmist knew that God was both faithful and unchanging. He's always alert. He never sleeps. Nothing ever takes him unawares. Nothing happens by chance. He knows every single thing, every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, of every decade, of every generation, right out into eternity. That's the God we know today. He never slumbers nor sleeps. I went up to see my father one night there a few weeks ago. Hadn't seen him. It was a Friday night, a bad night to go visiting, but I went up to see him and he was in bed, hasn't been well. The nurse says, I'll leave you with him, talk away to him, but I'm not sure if he knows what's going on. And I said, that's fine. And I went down and I spoke to him and I got into a big chair to speak to him. And I don't know how long I spoke, but the next thing I remember, the nurse coming in and giving me a shake. And she says, I didn't know which of you two were the worst. And it was dark. And the blinds were pulled and I was out for the count. But you know, I say this very reverently, God's never out for the count. Never taken unawares. Never slumbers. He never sleeps. And every moment of every day, God is aware of the needs of His people. He is faithful and He is unchanging. Spurgeon says this. He says, God is the convoy and the bodyguard of His saints. Does that not encourage your heart today, beloved? As you look at the situation that you find yourself in, just to know that there is a God in heaven who knows all about you, whose ear is ever open to your cry, whose heart is touched with your pain, and who today is in control of every situation. Reminds me of what God said to Jacob as he slept at Bethel and as God assured him of his future. He said to Jacob, Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places. He was encouraged with God's character. He was encouraged with God's care. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. What lovely words these are. Sometimes we read portions of God's word like this, and they're so descriptive, and we pass on without giving them any serious thought. But you know what this means? This means that the God who never slumbers or sleeps watches over us continually. He never lets us fall. He protects us from the perils along the way. And when the going gets tough, He's the one who shelters us in the midst of the storm. He's the one who shelters us in the midst of the storm. When David penned Psalm 3, he finds himself in a most disturbing state and in a very difficult situation. He's in exile, his life is under threat, and he's on the run. He's in danger, constant danger, and he's on alert. In fact, he's so far gone that he can't even sleep. Life has taken its toll on David, and then he realized something. He realized that God was watching over him and that God knew all about him. And here's what David said. He said, I laid me down to sleep and I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Finding the going tough this morning? Is life treating you harshly? Do you feel a bit deflated? If you come to the end of your resources, you think you're going to crack. Have you been lying at nights and you can't even get to sleep because of the things that you're carrying on your heart? Pastor, that sums it all up. Well, listen today. Your help will come from the Lord. You might not understand where you are and what's happening, but you need to lift your eyes to Him and you need to cast your care upon Him. Even though we cannot see it, somewhere behind the scenes, God is shifting things about. And when He's finished with you and He's finished with me, we'll be the better for it. Because what God does is always for our good and for His glory. Beloved, keep looking up. Because in the days in which we're living today, there's no alternative. The call of the psalmist, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. The comfort of the psalmist, he trusted in God's unchanging nature. He had a God who he knew cared for him. Here's the third thing. The confidence of the psalmist. Listen to these words as he closes with them. They ring with confidence. He says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Kristen and I, many years ago in our first church, we used to go visit an elderly couple and they would come to visit us. But the visit always took place outside for she couldn't get out of the car and she was badly disabled. But you know, sometimes they would come to our home and my children were very small at the time. My children would come running up the drive and I would hear the out in the drive. My children would run in and say, Daddy, Thunderbirds is here. Thunderbirds is here. And I knew immediately who it was that arrived. I went out to greet him. You know, sometimes I thought he was never going to get the car up the drive. Then he'd get out and talk to me and talk about the Lord. And talk about the blessings of God. And I'd look into the face of his dear wife who hadn't spoken to him for over 30 years with a stroke. And I listened to him talking about the goodness of God. Then one day his daughter arrived. She said to me, I want you to do me a favor. I said, what is it? She says, I want you to go and tell my dad to get off the road and not to be driving anymore. Oh, I said, not a hope. She says, he listened to you. So I went to see him. I said, Stuart, you and I need to talk. He says, it's about the car. I says, it is. Has she been at you too? I says, she has. He says, well, Pastor, he says, do you believe God's word? I says, I do. He says, so do I. I said, what do you mean, Stuart? He said, the Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this day forth and even forevermore. I says, Stuart, that's enough for me. He drove for years after, way up into his 90s. Never had an accident. And always claimed the promise of God. Listen, beloved. This picture of God's companionship and God's guardianship, it's a personal thing. The Lord shall preserve thee, thy soul, thy going out, thy coming in. In all the incidents of life, God deals with us personally. God is interested in us individually. Individually. And God's our daily companion. You see the word that's used here for keeper? It's used 6 times in this psalm. You know that the Orthodox Jews, and many to this day, do the same thing inside the doorpost of their home. They keep a little cylinder. And when they're going out and when they're coming back, they open the cylinder and they take out a little piece of paper and they read it. And it speaks to them of God's companionship. They go out through the home with this, reciting a verse that will keep them on the way. They believe they're kept by God. And you and I should write it on the doorposts of our own hearts this morning. The Lord is my keeper. That will dispel our fears. That will drive away our doubts. That will give us confidence in all the circumstances that we face. The Lord is thy keeper. Man lay dying. He is visited by his family and the arrangements were made concerning his funeral service, and he picked all the hymns and did everything himself. And then they turned around and said to him, well, tell me this. What would you like written on your gravestone? And he smiled. And he said, just one word. Kept. Kept. This is not just personal for you and me. It's perpetual, because the psalmist says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, preserve thy soul, preserve thy going in, coming out from this time forth and even forevermore. And that word preserve simply means to watch over continually, continually. Right until our traveling days are over. Do you know, beloved, there's not one of us in this church here this morning sitting who knows what a day will bring forth. Whether we're saved or unsaved, not one of us know. But that doesn't alter the fact that the scriptures say that the God who has led us tenderly this far will not keep us the rest of the way. Irrespective of the circumstances, he in his providence allows to come our way. John Bach was one of three missionaries who went to Greenland to bring the gospel to the Eskimos. For a period of time, he worked with the people despite their cruelty and their criticism, and despite their threats to his life, all to no avail. The people tore down the missionary huts, came in and broke all their furniture, took the missionary's boat and destroyed it by fire, withheld food from them in order to starve them to death. And things got so bad, John Bach felt it was time to stop and to move out and to move on. One day, when he had all the little bits and pieces that he owned gathered together, he was before God, confused and praying, believing with all his heart that God had brought him to that place. The door burst open. A number of Eskimos rushed in, all brandishing their knives. And they took John back and they brought their knives and they threatened to kill him on the spot, even though he was leaving. And John back that day said to these same people, you have caused me to suffer so much. But with a knife at his throat, he said, I want to tell you of one who suffered much more than me. And he took them to the place called Calvary. And he spoke to them of Christ. And that day in that little hut, they threw their knives to the ground and they put their knees to the ground and they trusted Christ as their Savior. And a work began that John Bach thought had already finished. And somebody said, why did you do such a thing? And he said that even under the threat of death, he knew God was watching over him. There's a little chorus says this, and with this I'll close. Safe am I. Safe am I in the hollow of his hand. Sheltered o'er with his love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe alarm me. For he keeps both day and night. Safe am I in the hollow of his hand. Beloved, I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know the distress, the discouragements, the disappointments, the depression. I don't know. But I do know this. Keep looking up. Because God is on your side, and God is by your side, even though at times it might not seem like it. Now let's pray. Father, would you burn your word into our hearts today, hearts that oft times are troubled and distressed, hearts, our Father, that carry things that others know absolutely nothing about. Would you write it upon the doorposts of our own hearts today? The Lord is thy keeper. And Father, help us to face all the demands of life, knowing that you're on our side and that you're by our side. And we ask it for Christ's sake.